And I thank you for the many testimonies that are represented here of individuals who have surrendered to you and your great salvation. And Father, I pray for any here who do not know you, they're not certain of that salvation, that they would come to you this day as they hear the true gospel. And Father, I pray that as a church that we would be continually faithful to your word and to the true gospel. And I thank you for this church. I thank you for the many churches in Troy and in the United States and around the world who stand true to your word and the gospel to shine as lights in darkness, because there are many who do not believe your word, who do not hold fast to your word, who distort your word. And so, Father, may we be faithful to shine as lights in the darkness. And I pray that as your word goes forward here today and around the world, that hearts would be drawn to you, and that eyes would be open to truth, and that we would stand firm on truth to be faithful to you. And we realize that it's only by your grace that we do that and we are able to do that. And we thank you for it. So encourage us and strengthen us through your word, even here today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, a little bit of interaction and participation here this morning, all right? True or false questions, all right? Now, you have to participate, you know, and if it's true or false, raise your hand, whatever you think, all right? And don't be shy, don't be bashful, and if you're wrong, be wrong, you know? Just put your hand up there, and we'll see how this goes, all right? Here's some questions. True or false? You only use 10% of your brain. True? False. All right, interesting. Lightning never strikes the same place twice. True. False. All right, see how they. Hair and fingernails continue to grow after you die. True? False. All right. It takes 7 years to digest gum. True? All right. You've heard that from your parents. It's got to be true. False. All right. If you drop a penny from the top of the Empire State Building and it hits someone, it will kill them. True? False. All right. You can see the Great Wall of China from the moon. True? False. Okay, we've heard these things, right? All right. So those are some general knowledge things. Now let's get into some spiritual things. These are Bible, all right? Let's see if they're true or false. When it comes to the Bible, these are found in the Bible. True or false? Cleanliness is next to godliness. True? False. All right. Okay. Thou shalt not ever judge. True? False. Unsure. All right. You must love yourself before you can love others. True? False? Unsure? All right. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. True? False. All right. All of these statements are false. All of these statements are false. You can take it up with me later, but all of these, it's interesting. We have a bunch of different opinions out there about what's true or false. All of these are false. This morning we want to talk about discernment. Discernment is essential in the church. There are some things in life that are inconsequential. It's not. We started with those. There are opinions about those. When we come to the scriptures, we need discernment because there's all kinds of teaching out there. Biblical doctrine is essential if our church is to function as God's kind of church. We're talking about a study in 1 Timothy, functioning as God's kind of church. Take your Bibles and turn there to 1 Timothy. And if we don't build on and adhere to sound doctrine, that's biblical teaching, then we're building on sinking sand. Remember the purpose for which Paul was writing to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he wanted God's people to know how to behave as an active part of God's church. He wants us to know how to behave, what we believe, and then how we live it out as a part of, an active part of God's kind of church. And part of being an active part of his church is to safeguard biblical teaching or sound doctrine. So here's your take-home thought today, and that is, I am urging you, as your pastor, I am urging you to pledge allegiance to authentic biblical teaching. Pledge allegiance to authentic biblical teaching. In other words, you are committed to this. Now, you think about that and you think, oh, okay, I'm just Sam Flabeats here in the pew. Why do I need to commit to that? I mean, isn't that the pastor's job? You know, he's up there. He's the one who needs to be committed to sound biblical teaching. He's the pastor, and we just sit here and we take it in. Well, I call your attention to Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11, and Paul was teaching, and Dr. Luke is writing, and he says that these Christians, speaking of the Bereans, Paul was teaching the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things, the things that Paul was teaching, was true. It was the people who were sitting out there like you are, listening to Paul, who were evaluating what he was saying and saying, now wait a minute. They searched the scriptures to see whether what Paul was saying was true or not. So it is incumbent upon you to say, all right, is what Pastor Dale teaching true? Is it biblical? And in that sense, hold me accountable to that. And it's my desire, because I pledge allegiance to sound biblical teaching, right? Authentic biblical doctrine. But there may be some things that need to be refined or encouraged about. That's okay. We want to get it right. Scripture tells us to rightly handle the word of truth. We need to be committed to that. All of us, not just Pastor Dale, not just Pastor Nate, but all of us need to be committed to this, pledging allegiance to it. And this is one of Paul's major reasons for writing this letter, is to encourage him, listen to this, to confront false teachers. If we tolerate false teaching in the church, it has the potential of eroding the church. We talked about the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. You don't get the teaching of Jesus concerning Jesus Christ and his gospel right. It erodes our foundation, and we don't have anything upon which we can build. We got to get this right. Authentic Bible teaching makes us distinct. Not every church out there, or that which calls themselves church, gets it right. We have to be discerning. If we want to take authentic Bible teaching and live it out, apply it to our lives. So follow as I read 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're looking at verses 3 through 7. All right? As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Verse 3. He says, I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus. He was telling Timothy to stick with it. Stick with it. Don't leave the church. Years ago, we were going through some challenges, and Pastor Nate came in to me, and he said, he took his bony finger, and he pointed at me, and he said, don't resign. He was kind of a Paul to Timothy in that situation. Stick with it. That's what Paul was doing here. Don't give up. And Timothy's kind of like, I'm pastor. I'm just a young pastor, and I'm in charge. I'm pastoring this big city church, and there's some false teachings coming in the church. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm not cut out for this, and maybe I should go and find another church. And Paul was saying, don't resign. Go after it. Go after it. Work through the issues. Work through the problems. And so he says, remain there in verse 3 at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. He didn't want Timothy to give up, but to stay with it and address the issue head on. The issue here was false teaching. The problem with false teaching in the church, confronting false teaching in the church, is that if someone is teaching it, they probably believe it. And if they believe it, then if you're confronting it, you're going in and telling them they're wrong. And if you're telling them that they're wrong, they might get angry. Then they might turn green. And then they might grow big muscles. And they might come after you. No, it can become intimidating, right? And scary. And difficult. And so Timothy was charged with this, going after false teaching in the church, which can be a real problem. I thank God for this church and the ministry and the commitment that you have. It was encouraging to see you answer some of those questions, many of you, as false. The Bible questions as false. Because you know doctrine. It's important. And by pledging allegiance to authentic Bible teaching, you're on safe ground. Why? Because you're going back. You're committed to going back to the scriptures to rightly handle the word of God so as to get it right and build on that firm foundation of Christ and the gospel. So in this passage, when you pledge allegiance to authentic Bible teaching, I want to look at two objectives. If you're pledging allegiance to authentic Bible teaching, two objectives. First one, competently confront false teaching. Competently confront false teaching. Again, let's look at verse 3. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, any different doctrine than the one you are hearing from me, that you've heard from the apostles, that we are to pass on to others. If you hear any, don't. Pastor Nate alluded to that in Galatians. There was a different doctrine that was being taught. He says here, remain there to charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Command them not to teach false doctrines. It was happening. It was happening in the church. It may have been that Timothy was aware of it and didn't know what to do about it. I don't know. It may have been that it got back to Paul, and Paul says, whoa, wait a minute. Timothy, you can't let this go on. Command them not to teach false doctrine. and it promoted controversy as opposed to love, pure hearts, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. We'll get to that in just a moment. But knowing true Bible teaching puts you in a better position to identify that which is counterfeit. Now I say competently confront false teaching. This is what I'm going after there. And that is, you need to know true Bible teaching so that you are competent to confront the whenever it comes up and it's not true Bible teaching. We don't just shoot from the hip and argue over opinions and everything. Come back to the Word of God, the sure foundation of which we sang about here just a little bit ago, built on Jesus Christ. The question is, how do you identify it? Well, look at the middle of verse 4. It talks about teaching a different doctrine which promotes speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. False doctrine promotes speculations or controversy. I enjoy listening to talk radio and news programs and forums and everything. And Teresa's like, oh, come on, give us some good music. And let's listen to that. One of the things she really despises, and I don't mean to throw her under the bus over this, but she hates it when they start talking over each other, right? You know, you get two or three people on a panel, and they're just like, wait, you know, and all this, and especially through this this election cycle, you just heard all kinds of different opinions about things, and it just drove her nuts. Why? It's just speculation. And speculation tends to divide and cause even more problems. False teaching is often based on the outlandish. False teaching is often based on the outlandish. If it's true, it's not new. If it's new, it's not true. I was investigating, had been influenced to some extent by a certain teaching. We went to these conferences years ago, and the teacher of the conference would say, "We're working on a new teaching." And that became a red flag. It's like a new teaching. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. It's just kind of a general thing that can help you out in doing some evaluation. Because false teaching is often based upon the outlandish. There are fables. There are idle superstitions. In Timothy's time, and we're going to get to this more next week, but the focus was on legalism in the church or Pharisaism, where the teaching of the rabbis, the Jewish teachers and the Pharisees. And they were kind of the legal experts of the day. And from what I understand, they had Bible teaching. They knew the Bible, but they added to it. Like they had over 300 do's that they added to the Bible. Here, if this is true in the Bible, then certainly we must do this and this and this. And they had over 700 additional don'ts. If God doesn't want us to do this, then we shouldn't do this and this and this and this. And it developed into these myths. Then they also had the Gnostics, those who had super knowledge. And there were only certain truths that were available to the super intellectually or spiritually elite. And we see some of this going on in churches even today. There are those, like the Jewish teachers, who teach all kinds of extra do's that you have to do in order to get saved, to earn your salvation. They start talking about special glasses, magic glasses, and golden tablets. Or then you have the likes of Islam that is sweeping the world. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but the North American Islamic Center is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Actually, Plainfield. 5 minutes just west of the Indianapolis airport. North American Islamic Center. Right here in our backyard. Having influence. Making an impact. Right there. And there are those who hold to an intellectualism that even denies God. We have the God's Not Dead movies, where you have the creation. One of the big arguments is creation over against evolution. And if you believe in creation, then you just don't have an intellectual clue about anything. Be discerning. I'm admonishing you, encouraging you, challenging you, urging you to be discerning. We provide the church with access to a video library. It's called Right Now Media. Now it's a library. It's like walking into Troy Public Library. There's all kinds of books and materials. And I want you to know that when you walk into it's Right Now Media, it's Christian. But just like, let me ask you this. Is everything you read on the internet true? Right? Is everything you come across in Right Now Media going to be solid biblical teaching? I caution you. There's a sense in which I'm wrestling with just providing that, because there's stuff on there that's not true. It's unbiblical. And yet there's some other good stuff. My encouragement to you is be discerning. Be discerning when you watch and listen. And even as you watch or listen to a certain individual, that it maybe something that individual says or preaches or teaches is okay, but then there are other things that's like, ugh. We just ran into this last week. There was one who, we even used one of their books, and then found out that they were teaching false doctrine, false teaching in a particular area that was significant to the issue of salvation. So I just caution you, be discerning. Many of you, you can pick up on the red flags very quickly. But if there's something there that it just doesn't ring true, ask. Ask. And we'll try to do what we can do to help you. Beware of any teaching that indicates that you must do something in order to earn salvation or to keep your salvation. There are those who teach, you get saved by salvation by grace through faith, not of yourselves. You got to really work hard in order to hold on to that. So beware of that in order to gain it or in order to keep it. But also beware of those who teach that you can lose it. These are teachings that you have. There are churches in Troy that hold to those kinds of doctrines. You've got to do something in order to get saved, or you've got to do something in order to keep it. And if you don't do those things, you can lose it. Be discerning. Listen, I'm not saying that FBC is the only church that has the truth. That's naive. That's unbiblical. There are other good, you heard me pray, there are other good, solid churches in Troy and around the world who are teaching good, solid, biblical truth. But we, in this church, must be committed to that. And if we're committed to that, be discerning as to who you watch, who you listen to, what you hear. Listen with a certain amount of skepticism. As you listen to that which is out there. Just because it's on the internet, just because a good name is next to it, doesn't necessarily mean that it's solid biblical teaching. Go to the scriptures. Be a Berean. And I invite you to do that even as I preach and teach. All right? Beware of those who teach you can lose your salvation. There, Scripture clearly states, for another example, that women should not be pastors and that they should not teach men theology in the church. And we're going to deal with that as we go through our study in 1 Timothy. I think that's when Pastor Nate's going to preach. I'll let him deal with that. But it's becoming more prominent in the church. And you need to be solid as to what you're thinking, what you believe, and where you stand. And we believe it to be biblical that not be the case. And so I ask you to hear us out on that, because we're going to use the Scriptures to teach that. There are churches who affirm the LGBTQ plus ideology. It's becoming more prominent in churches and accepting and welcoming. Do we invite them and love them, individuals who hold to those things? Absolutely. We want to love them to Jesus and call them to repentance. But there are churches out there that affirm those things. We need to be careful. We need to be discerning. In our care and discipleship class, we're learning that there's a stark contrast between biblical counseling and the counseling of the world. Oftentimes you have psychology and psychiatry out there that's very worldly and unbiblical. And Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But rather his delight is in the law of the Lord, and upon his law does he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by rivers of water." There's stability in walking according to the counsel of the Word of God. And yet, in churches, so often when we run into really difficult issues, we tend to say, oh, that's something that the psychologists or psychiatrists need to handle. They need to deal with that. And I think oftentimes pastors do that, and churches do that, and people in the pew do that. And my encouragement to you is, if you're going to be discerning, that you say, okay, I am really have, if or when you ever have a really serious issue in your life, and what by issue there I'm talking about, a non-organic behavioral issue, is to say, I'm going to first go to the Word, and I'm going to find out what God says about this. I'm going to go to the pastor and see if there's some counsel that can help me deal with this issue in my life. Be discerning. There are those who talk about, it's called word of faith. I'm gonna proclaim a word over you. God has given me a word over you, as if it has some kind of mystical power over you. You hear this in churches. Be careful. As if it's some kind of incantation that's going to make a difference. Be careful. Be discerning about that. Does Scripture teach that? There was one other I was gonna mention that it's fairly prominent. That I think you need to be careful about. But again, I know what it was. I listened to a pastor preach. This has been years ago, and it was kind of a name it, claim it. And he used a passage that says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Give and it shall be given unto you." He said, "Listen to this, folks. If you want a mink coat, give somebody a mink coat. Want a mink coat? Give somebody a mink coat. You want a new car? Give somebody a new car." And he said, "And you just watch God bless." I'm like, and again, it just, those kinds of things are things that ought to raise red flags in your mind over false teaching. And you hear this. You hear this and I could probably go around. What are some things you've watched or you listened to? And we could go around. You've heard things that you know are unbiblical. Be discerning. Another indication of the mundane is vain discussions. Verse 6. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered into vain discussions. Some version has vain jangling. Anybody have that in your vain jangling? That's a great description of what goes on here. Vain jangling. NIV interprets it as meaningless or random talk or babbling. And you come away from that discussion saying, what? What in the world was that guy saying? What did it mean? Verse 7 speaks to this. Desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. People often go to church and they hear very little about the Bible. They may hear a Bible verse or two, and then they hear a bunch of stories, or maybe they jump right to life application as to what we need to do to show love to our community and these kinds of things. But there's very little talk about sin and repentance associated with faith. You just got to be discerning, because oftentimes it turns into vain discussions. Lots of entertainment, very little substance. We tend to preach half an hour to 30 to 40 minutes. I tell you, I commend you for enduring that. I try to sprinkle in some illustrations and so on to hold your attention. And sometimes it's a little more difficult than others because it gets kind of deep sometimes. But I'm telling you, God has not called me to entertain you. I'm sorry. Why should, am I sorry? I shouldn't be sorry. God has called me to minister His word faithfully, to rightly handle the word of truth, and to be faithful to that. And sometimes, it takes, okay, I got to give my attention to this. It takes commitment on your part in order to do that. That's part of pledging allegiance to authentic Bible doctrine. Say, I'm gonna hear him out. I'm gonna listen to what he has to say. There are those who speak in these theological word salads that really just don't have a whole lot of meaning or depth or spiritual nutrition. We need to guard against that. False teaching is often preoccupied by something other than the scriptures. Myths and genealogies. I skipped genealogies, didn't I? Genealogy, I need to speak to that. Because the genealogies in that day was the Hebrews were very proud of the tribe that they were born into. They could trace it back, you know. And Paul even talks about this in Philippians 2, you know. A Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, you know, just is really proud of that. And you say, well, how does that translate into the church? Have you ever heard of racial discrimination? We're better than someone else because of our color, the color of our skin. Well, I tell you, that used to be very prominent in churches. And then I look at our church and I'm like, okay, how welcoming are we to someone who's different than we, right? Whether it's color of skin, whether it's a different race, whether it's different kinds of clothes that they wear, different socioeconomic class. See, that's the mundane, that's the genealogies, and that's what they would argue about and discuss those kinds of things. It's wrong. It's unbiblical. It's false teaching. So false teaching magnifies not only the outlandish, but the mundane, genealogies and vain discussions, preoccupied with something other than Scripture. So, question is, all right, how do we combat this? Well, competently confront false teaching, know what you're talking about, but then confidently accomplish the work of God. Confidently accomplish the work of God in its fullness, as God intended. Look at verse 3. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations, rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. You find in this passage that when you pledge allegiance to authentic biblical doctrine, biblical teaching, it is exercised by faith. First of all, it's faith in what God says about his great salvation. It's by grace that you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. As I said earlier, there are those who teach that that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. False doctrine. It's not true. By grace, through faith alone. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. Believing that that is sufficient to save you, as you turn away from your life of sin or lifestyle of sinfulness and you turn to God for his righteousness through Jesus Christ that is imputed to you, you believe that he, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, is the one and only who can save and no other. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Romans 10:9 says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Acts 4:12, and neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's through Christ and Christ alone. And so when we talk about faith and exercising our sound doctrine by faith, it starts with salvation. And all other doctrines are built upon a right understanding of God's salvation through Jesus Christ, who he is. Understanding who he is as we go back to our discipleship series as God the Son. So you understand who God is, who Jesus is, and his salvation. It's a firm foundation. Salvation then enables you to effectively accomplish the work of God. His work by faith in him. And when you understand that God's word gives you everything you need for life and godliness, you're committed to his word, to come back to his word, to believe what he says about salvation, and then living your life in light of the gospel. You don't just, okay, I'm saved, now I got to figure the rest of my life out or do it the way I want to do it. No, we continually come back to the gospel and live in light of gospel truth, which he goes on to say it is exercised in verse 5, by love, exercised by his love in its fullness. The aim, the goal of our charge is love. That issues from a pure heart and a good conscience, sincere faith. Paul says that the goal is love. We're talking about the highest form of love. God so loved the world, he so loved you that he gave his one and only son. The highest form of love is a sacrificial love, an unconditional love. He didn't do it. He didn't die for you because you're so good and so great. He died for you because of his love for you. And his love is so good and so great that he sent his son to die for you. And he died because of his love for you. So this love then comes from a pure heart, which is right motives, right? And this, by the way, this is how we minister. When we go to minister to others, that this is the work of God, we minister evaluating our hearts out of pure love. Love out of a pure heart, which is a right motive. I don't know about you, but I like drinking purified water. No offense to those of you who might like Ice Mountain. Some of you like Ice Mountain water. It does this to me. It's not purified. It has some kind of minerals or something in it. But I like purified water. It's clean. It's good. Our love needs to be pure. Our love also needs just in commenting on that, we don't want people, when we walk away, to go, I just didn't like that kind of love. It's got to come from a pure heart, right? Love comes from a good conscience. That's right thinking. Right thinking. Right. Where does right thinking come? Right thinking is free from guilt. Right? Now, you say, well, how can we be free from guilt? Forgiveness. You've experienced the forgiveness of God. And so then as you minister to others, you're ministering out of love to see them know and experience the forgiveness of God. And then finally, a sincere faith. That's right doctrine. Confidence in God, not hypocritical, no ulterior motives, not fake and syrupy, but deep and stable, which grows out of authentic Bible teaching. And I'll tell you what, how you handle the trials and difficulties of life indicate the depth of your faith. As you go through the challenges that you face in life, it gives an indication of how you handle, of the depth of your faith. And I'm not saying that you just superficially go, oh, well, praise God anyway. You've heard that. Praise God anyway. No. There are times when we hurt, right? We generally are hurt by the circumstances of life and the relationships that we have in life. And yet, because of a sincere faith, because we hold to a right doctrine, believing what we know about God as He's revealed Himself in His Word, that God's got this, and we can trust Him through it, whatever it is. And then when that individual, you're doing the work of God, and that is that individual looks at you and talks with you, they might say something like, man, there's something different about you. How do you do that? How are you getting through what you're getting through? Because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a sincere faith, and it's based on right doctrine. So as a result of pledging allegiance to authentic Bible teaching, love others enough to direct them to the truth. To direct them to the truth of the Word of God. You have the Word of God. And so I encourage you to actively use the Word of God in your own life to the extent that it makes a difference for you, and then you pass that on to others. You say, hey, I want you to see what I have learned and the hope that I've gained through God and His Word. And I pray that for you, and to pass that on, to faithfully accomplish the work of God, to confidently accomplish God's work and do so to His glory, and make no apologies about that, standing strong and true to authentic Bible teaching. Pledge allegiance to authentic Bible teaching to the glory of God. Let's ask for His help to do just that. Father, we come to You, and we recognize the fact that